Your speaker is John Grubb.
We are thankful you have joined us as we continue our study of God's Word. We are looking at basic facts of the faith. We are currently discussing living the Christian life. One responsibility in living the Christian life is studying the Bible, God's Word. And we looked at passages that show the responsibility that we have in this area. Also, we are to pray. As we study God's Word, God talks to us. When we pray, we talk to God. Note some verses that tell us why and how we should pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." What does that mean, pray without ceasing? Does that mean that we must pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? That is not possible. Pray without ceasing simply means that we are to make prayer a regular part of our life. Studying God's Word must be a regular part of our life. Also, prayer must be a regular part of our life. When we study God's Word, God speaks to us. When we pray, we speak to God. And so this is the way that we communicate with God. God through His Word, we through our prayers. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And so we pray to God. We ask Him for the things that we need. We thank Him for the things that He has provided. And in the midst of turmoil and trouble and trials, we can receive the peace of God. Jesus taught us how to pray when He taught His disciples, as recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. "In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The only thing in this model prayer we can no longer use is the phrase, "Your kingdom come." We cannot use that phrase because the Lord's kingdom has already come. When Jesus gave the model prayer to the disciples, the kingdom had not yet come. But it has since come. It came on that first Pentecost after Jesus rose from the dead. And so we read in Colossians 1 and verse 13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." In order to be conveyed into the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom must already exist. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 14, "For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans." And so the kingdom was in existence in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then Revelation 1 verse 9, "I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." So we can follow the model prayer except for your kingdom come, because the kingdom has already come. Further, James says in James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. God is wanting to hear our prayers. He wants to answer our prayers. And James says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And he gives the example of Elijah, the prophet in the Old Testament, his story beginning in 1 Kings chapter 17. And God wanted to prove to the northern kingdom, head up by King Ahab, that God was the one in control, not idols. And so through the prayer of Elijah, the rain was stopped by God for 3.5 years. And then after there was a contest on Mount Carmel, then God started the rain again through the prayers made by Elijah. God heard the prayer of Elijah. And there are so many examples in both the Old Testament and the New Testament where God hears and answers prayer. And God will hear the prayer of the Christian. And the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Yes, as a Christian, I have the responsibility to study God's Word and also to pray. Third, we are to assemble for worship. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Yes, we have the responsibility of assembling with the saints, attending worship services. And why is it that we want to do that? Because we put God first. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love Christ and want to put His kingdom first, then we are going to want to assemble with the saints. As we noted in the lesson on finding the church Jesus built, when we assemble for worship, we sing, pray, teach, and on the Lord's Day, we partake of the Lord's Supper and contribute money to the support of the Lord's work. When we fail to assemble with the saints, we are not able to do these things. We do not have fellowship one with another, as they did as recorded in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And so as I fulfill my responsibility as a Christian in living the Christian life, I definitely want to arrange my schedule so that I am able to be with the saints when they meet. How often do we meet with the saints? On Sunday, maybe also in one day during the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday or Friday, or maybe even Saturday? How many hours total do we meet with the saints each week? Maybe 4, 5, or 6 hours. How many hours are there in a week? 168. So what we are talking about is arranging our schedule so that we will be able to meet with the saints for worship. It is not a great sacrifice to take the time that is involved in assembling for worship. And what benefits we receive when we come together in worshiping God with the saints. As a Christian, I have the responsibility to teach the lost. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The apostles were told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16 and verse 15. But Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, once those people have obeyed the gospel, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And one of the things that Jesus commanded them to do was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's exactly what they did in the first century. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and 4. "At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." And then verse 4 says, "Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." In the first century, Christians were scattered throughout those regions, and as they went, they were preaching and teaching the gospel. This is the responsibility that I have as a Christian, to study God's word, to pray, to assemble with the saints, to teach others the gospel of Christ.